Thank you. It's great being with Sam and Lisa, and let me introduce my wife. Pastor Sue, why don't you stand up and just show your pretty face to everyone else. My wife is not Korean. I'm Korean. She is Filipina, born in New York City, but with Filipino parents who immigrated to New York to do their residency. Both of them are were doctors, and my father-in-law went home to be with the Lord. We had the privilege of leading him to Jesus Christ, but he was, how old was he? 91. And so he just recently, in October, went home to be with the Lord. And he was an anesthesiologist, and then my mother-in-law still going strong at 89, and she was a pediatrician, and that's where Sue got a love for children. And we have four now adult children. They're all grown up, and two of them are married, one is engaged, and our kids are very unique looking because they're half Korean, half Filipino. We call them Corpinos. And so, if you just go to, you know, our website, you can see their faces because they're involved in the ministry. My son is a pastor, and he's being really groomed to take over the church. And he was an actor for like 7 years. And so that is definitely in our DNA, the whole arts and entertainment heart for bringing influence to Hollywood. And it's amazing how the Lord has opened up doors for us to minister to people like Justin Bieber, who's been to our church, and Beyonce, and we've had a chance to prophesy over her, minister to her. So some of the top A-list actors and artists have been to our house, and so it's just what God has done. It's not something that we try to make happen or orchestrate. In fact, they contacted us, and so, but it's been amazing. 20 years ago, we started our house as a prayer meeting, our church as a prayer meeting in our house. It was, we're just praying because I was an itinerant evangelist at that time. Not a successful one. I was not, you know, I was just really struggling, really. And I was wondering, if I should even continue ministry. And now you have to realize I got my master's and my doctorate at Fuller Seminary. I spent 8 years, in higher education, and I was wondering, you know, I'm not very successful, and maybe I should go in the marketplace and do something in sales, because I used to sell drugs, and I made a lot of money selling drugs. And so I thought, you know, it's true. If you know my background, you know, I was a drug dealer before I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And it's true. And I actually got saved on May 29th, 1973, at a Deep Purple concert. Now, you say, who the heck is Deep Purple? I know that dates me, but at one time, Deep Purple was the number one heavy metal band, and they had the number one song called Smoke on the Water. How many know what I'm talking about? Do you, some of you, okay, maybe just a handful here, but if you Google this, you can look in the background. They're from London. They're from England. And literally, I'll just share briefly what happened. Is I had a spiritual encounter with Jesus Christ 2 weeks before, and I was I was into Zen Buddhism. I wasn't deep in it, but I was dabbling with Zen for like a year, mainly because a girl I liked was into Zen, and so we thought, you know, this is something we could do together. But I got nothing out of it, and I remember I was at my friend's house, and the party was boring, so I went to another room by myself and sat in my lotus position, started to go through this stupid chant, and as I was chanting, I just said, you know, I've been doing this for a year, and I've got nothing out of it, and I was empty. You know, I thought I had everything I wanted. You know, I had the popularity, I had the money from the drug sales, I had all the drugs I wanted, and yet I was still empty. And so that's why I got into Zen, and that's one of the reasons why. So I really prayed, and I said this, I'll never forget this, I said this audibly out loud. I said, God, I don't even know if you exist, but if you do exist, if what my parents told me is true, because my parents were Christians, they've gone home to be with the Lord. But I say, if this is true, just reveal yourself to me. I mean, if you create the universe, just show yourself to me. Now, I wasn't expecting anything to happen right there. I thought maybe in the days ahead, if he is God, he would reveal himself. And right there, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit came upon me. And I could not stop weeping for the next 3 days. The mercy and the love enveloped me to the point where I knew by revelation that Jesus was what I was looking for. But there was no one there to disciple me, follow up on me, and so I didn't give up the drugs. I didn't give up the partying lifestyle. I just continued, but I had this encounter. Now, 2 weeks later, I'm at a Deep Purple concert. And the tickets sold out like in 2 hours, 15,000 seats at the Baltimore Civic Center. I grew up on the East Coast in the Washington, D.C. area. And we had the best seat in the house. We had right like third row from the center of the stage at this 15,000-seat arena. And there was another band beforehand. And so during the intermission, my friends are walking around, and I'm saving their seat. And I begin to just recall the encounter I had 2 weeks before. And I was trying to, and I'm just being real with you, I was trying to make a deal with God. I was saying, God, is it okay for me to just smoke pot? I won't do the cocaine. I won't do the hard drugs. But, you know, is it okay just to smoke pot? And then I won't sell, because my conscience was convicting me. Even though no one was witnessing to me, the Bible says, it is to your advantage that I go away in John 16, verse 7. If I go, I'll send the helper. And the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. So without even knowing that, I was under conviction. And I knew selling drugs and hard drugs and taking hard drugs was wrong. And yet I didn't want to give it up. And I said, can I just do pot and I'll get off the hard stuff. And then the second thing I said is, it's okay to have sex as long as you like the person, and it's not, I'm not just sleeping around or anything like that. Seriously, that's what I was praying. And as I was trying to make a deal with God, two guys I never saw before in my life, and this is in detail in my book, Fire Evangelism, they came and sat down next to me. I thought they were crashing. I thought they were trying to get closer up before Deep Purple came on. So I leaned over to tell them, these seats are taken. But before I could get a word out of my mouth, the guy sitting next to me said, you think you're close to God, but you're not close to him. You're still far from him. If you really want to follow him, you have to show him you're serious about following him. And that's all they said. And they got up and walked away. Yeah, I mean, this is not a Michael W. Smith concert. We're talking about a Deep Purple heavy metal. And I just said, God, what do you want me to do? And I heard the voice of God, what I call the inaudible voice of God, for the first time. And I heard him say, this concert represents everything that's sinful about your life. If you really want to follow me, you've got to throw away your drugs, leave this concert, and follow me. And I had a lot of drugs on me. I had a pound of marijuana. I had these very expensive barbiturates called Quaaludes. They were the drug of choice, and it's totally illegal now. But I had snuck in a water pipe, the one that Mike Phelps uses, you know, the same model, the swimmer from. But anyway, I had snuck that into the concert hall, and when I heard that, I said, okay. And I threw the drugs on the floor. Immediately someone picked it up, you know. And the band came on with Smoke on the Water. Smoke was, back in those days, they didn't have the kind of special effects that you have in concerts today. But nevertheless, smoke was pouring out of the stage. The lights were flashing. The whole 15,000 people ran up to the front. I was trapped. I was up in the front. I could have rationalized, oh, there's no way I can get out. I can't leave. So I had to be intentional. I had to fight my way through the crowd to leave the concert. Something supernatural happened. I got instantly delivered from drugs. That was the last time I did drugs, May 29th, 1973, over 40 years. I walked out, and I hitchhiked back home, which is an hour, and the first person to pick me up took me to my door. It was amazing, and since then I've been following Jesus Christ. And by the way, I also made a vow of celibacy until... And 5 years later, on our wedding night, my wife and I got married on 1979. We've been married almost 35 years. Can we thank God for that? And so it's been amazing how God has blessed us. And I really mean that. I feel like if I went home to be with the Lord, just having four wonderful children that love Jesus, serving the Lord, and two grandchildren, I feel I'm a blessed man. And regardless of all the ministry stuff, and thank you for being so kind about that intro, Sam, but I feel I have everything I want, and I really mean that. And I'm so grateful for what the Lord has done, and I want to definitely congratulate you on your 11th anniversary, and I know the best is yet ahead. I want to continue what I shared with the leaders, because I had a dream, a prophetic dream in October, that God wanted to take his church to a whole different level, the next level. And I shared how Scripture is full of how God is constantly taking us from glory to glory, 2 Corinthians 3:18, that he changes us into his image from glory to glory. The Bible talks about going from faith to faith, from strength to strength. The Bible talks about in Proverbs 4:18, one of my favorite verses is that the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the full day. What I want to zero in on tonight is doing greater works. And that's found in John chapter 14. And let's go there. John chapter 14. And because whatever miracles and whatever signs and wonders you've seen, I believe it's God's heart that he takes you to a whole different level, that you will see greater miracles and greater signs and wonders for the purpose of advancing God's kingdom, but also because, you know, God loves people. He has compassion. He was moved with compassion over and over again, and he healed the sick. But inherent within the gospel of the kingdom is heaven invading earth. Now, when I talk about the gospel, you notice I didn't say the gospel of salvation. That phrase, the gospel of salvation, is not found in the Bible. It's the gospel of the kingdom. Of course, that includes salvation. But this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations, and then the end will come in Matthew 24, verse 14. And so Jesus comes on the scene, a little bit of introduction before we go to John 14. In Matthew 4, verse 17, he comes on the scene, and he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What do you mean by that? Repent to change your thinking. Metanoia means to change your thinking. Today we'll say do a paradigm shift. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, you could have heaven now on earth. It's within reach. You don't have to die to go to heaven. And that's why the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, right now, not in the sweet by and by. And so we see how he began to preach the gospel of the kingdom and heal every sickness and every disease. And now he is ready to depart. And you have the great discourse of John 13, 14, 15, and 16, and going even to the Lord's Prayer in John 17. But what I want to zero in on is John 14, verse 12, because this is stunning. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I will do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And so we're talking about doing greater works. And we are, and probably in the 40 years I've been walking with the Lord, I am hearing and seeing some of the most amazing healings, amazing signs and wonders that I've ever seen in 40 years of walking with the Lord. Now, I gave my life to Jesus Christ during the Jesus People Movement, and we saw incredible miracles back in those days. Now, Jesus People Movement, for those who don't know much about that in church history, that a major wave hit young people to the point that Time Magazine actually had a front cover called The Jesus Revolution in 1971. And you could Google that, Time Magazine, Jesus Revolution. And that article, they estimated around 2 million teenagers had given their lives to Jesus Christ. I believe we're on the verge of another Jesus People movement. And what I mean by that, the characteristic of it, is that we're going to see a lot of young people come in. It's another wave of young people. And I feel Solomon's Porch is poised, is primed, because you're so young already. I mean, there are generations here. You know, this is a multi-generational church. But I feel prophetically that you are really positioned to see a massive harvest of young people coming in. And I'm prophesying this, and I want to encourage you. And by the way, historically, the harvest has always been with young people. In fact, I want to just share with you, before we even go into John 14, when we talk about greater works, to build your faith, how God has used, historically, young people at a very young age. It's okay if I do this. You can get the tape and write this down on your own later on. But Martin Luther was only 30 years old when he nailed the 95 Theses on Wittenberg's door. John Calvin was 29 when he arrived in Geneva and began preaching about Reformation. John Bunyan was 30 when he was arrested for preaching without a license, and during his incarceration, he would begin the Pilgrim's Progress. George Fox was 23 when he began the Religious Society of Friends better known as the Quakers. And George Fox was 23, and he began a movement that brought about major reformation. George Fox was the one that influenced the United States to be abolitionist, to be against slavery, for example, which was radical, because you got to understand, you know, you had a lot of Christian slave owners during that time, and yet he was a reformer, and he began his ministry at the age of 23. Zinzendorf was 21 when he dedicated his newly inherited estate to the Lord's service. And at age 27, he started his community, Herrnhut, which would be a revival that would lead to the conversion of John and Charles Wesley. George Whitfield was 26 when he preached in America and ignited the first Great Awakening. How many of you are 26 or under 26? Okay, you know, I mean, we're talking about your age. Isn't that amazing? David Brainerd was 25 when he began his ministry in Native Americans. William Carey was 24 when he challenged a group of Baptist ministers to engage in world missions. And you heard the famous story when he challenged them, and they said, if God wants to save the heathens, he can save them without you. But, you know, William Carey, of course, stepped out and became a great missionary to India and was the father of the modern missions movement. Hudson Taylor was 22 when he went to mainland China and started the China Inland Missions. Judson was 24 when he sailed to India, eventually into Burma. Mueller, or George Mueller, was 30 when he began his first orphanage in Bristol. David Livingston was 27 when he sailed to Africa and inspired a generation of future missionaries. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, was 19 when he took over the pastorate of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London and would become the largest church in the world. Back then, it was like a 10,000-member church, but it was the largest church, and he was called the Prince of Preachers. 19 when he began. C.T. Studd was age 24. He was one of the most popular athletes. He would be like, you know, the Michael Jordan of his time when he gave up everything and became a missionary to China, 24. Charles Parham was 27 when he founded the Bethel Bible College in Topeka, which is where William Seymour got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then he brought the revival to Azusa Street in 1906. Amy Simple McPherson was 25 when she began her itinerant work, and for those who don't know who she is, she's the founder of the Four Square denomination and amazing healing evangelist. The ambulances would bring the sick and lame to her church services, and they would get healed. Oral Roberts was 29 when he founded Oral Roberts Evangelistic Association. And I had the privilege of spending some time with Oral Roberts before he went home to be with the Lord in 2000. And 2000, I believe it was 2012, December. And amazing, he would share the stories about how he had a 10,000-seat tent, but there would be 30,000 outside the tent, would be around 40,000 trying to get in, and 10,000 would be in the tent. And the miracles that began, he began when he was 29. Billy Graham was 31 when he started the historic crusade in Los Angeles. He started his ministry much earlier, but I'm talking about when the revival in Los Angeles broke out, and it went into protracted meetings, and he was on the front page of every single newspaper around the world and began his Billy Graham Association. Lauren Cunningham was 21 when he had a vision of waves of young people bringing the gospel around the world, and 25 when he founded Youth with a Mission. Isn't that amazing? And so God wants to use you, and we are in the most exciting period of church history. And so he says, greater works will you do if you believe. And we're talking about the works that we read about in the book of Acts. We're talking about what we read about in the Gospels. We're talking about extraordinary healings and miracles. I'm talking about, I think of Leanna Cinquanta, who was a student at Fuller Seminary when she was a member of our church. She bought a one-way ticket to the Ganges River area, Uttar Pradesh, northern India, and she wanted to be sent out as a missionary. We had no idea, because she had been touched by revival in our church, that she would go there. The first thing she did for the first 4 months was just sit among the poor until she mastered Hindi. She didn't even, you know, she went into total immersion to learn the language. And then the Lord led her into strategic spiritual warfare. And that's a whole message in itself. You need to have her because she is the most amazing woman, young woman I've ever met. Then she started to go from village to village and just pray for the sick. The deaf would hear, the blind would see. She would give an invitation, people would get saved. She would establish, just like Paul, establish leadership. She has now planted over 13,000 churches. In the last 4 years, she's led over 300,000 people to Jesus Christ in the most unreached part of northern India. The actual growth of the churches increased because of her. When she went there, it was less than 1%. Now it's 3%. Now, I'm not saying it's all her, but I'm talking about she's been a major catalyst. She has 5,000 pastors aligned with her. And by the way, she happens to be a 90-pound, 5'2" young lady. And so don't limit God in your life. Can I hear an amen from the ladies at least? Okay, come on. Yeah, so God wants to use you. And we're seeing amazing things being done by these nameless and faceless people that God's raising up. Truly, I mean, we're in an amazing time of global harvest. I had the privilege of meeting with some of the underground church apostles this past week. My wife and I, with a number of people from the United States, met with some of the apostles from primarily mainland China. There was one from Hong Kong, Hugo Chan, who's a dear friend, he was there, and a few pastors from Taiwan, but mostly were from mainland China. And it was invitation only. It was not an open meeting. But just talking to one apostle from the city of Anhui, Brother Chan, he only got saved in the year 2000. So we're only talking about like 14 years ago. He was a farmer. And he begins a church after he gets saved. Revival breaks out. Now he has this network of over 5 million people aligned with him. He has planted 100,000 churches in his network. And now he has grown the largest underground house church movement. He's been imprisoned 5 times for his faith. And, you know, when I'm with these incredible leaders, I feel like, you know, instead of being called a Pentecostal, I feel like a Punycostal. You know what I'm saying? They're the real Pentecostals. And by the way, when I say Pentecostal, I'm not necessarily talking about a certain denomination or stream. But according to Barrett's Encyclopedia, which is a 3-volume encyclopedia that comes out every time, like every 5 years, or I forget exactly how many years, he does an exhaustive research on the demographic of the church globally. And we are now reaching 1 billion evangelicals. These are people who are Bible-believing, born again. We're not adding the Roman Catholics or the Orthodox part. If you add that to Christianity, we're talking about almost 3 billion, all right? But the fastest growing segment of the church would be the quote, Pentecostal charismatic segment of the evangelicals. Out of almost a billion, we're talking about 800 million. So those who believe and the signs and wonders, believe in the things of the Spirit, you're in the majority globally. And so if people are criticizing you who don't even believe in gifts or they say that miracles are not for today, they're in the very small minority on a global perspective. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because when you look at what's going on in Africa and Brazil, Peter Wagner says arguably there will be a sheep nation. Almost 40% of Brazil is now born again. To go to like Belo Horizonte, and I've been there, and we have our Wagner Leadership Institute. In fact, our largest seminary is in Brazil with over 1,000 students. But Belo Horizonte, the Logarina Baptist Church is 55,000. That's a Baptist church, but they're charismatic. And I've had the privilege of preaching there. But you have other churches of 40,000, 25,000, almost on every corner. It is amazing to see what God's doing. When they have like a March for Jesus, 3 million people show up. It's stunning to see what God's doing in Brazil. And then you have like Indonesia. Indonesia is the largest Muslim nation in the world. Any Indonesians here from Indonesia? Okay. But do you know right now it's around 25% born again? We had a conference last May with 4,000 people, and people were just lined up. We had to turn away another 500. And it was amazing. Just to give you an idea of some of the miracles that happened, as James Gall and Bill Johnson, Heidi Baker, myself were the speakers, and as James Gall was speaking, he's a prophet from the United States, one of the security guard of the convention center that was rented out, and this is not a church building, we're talking about a secular convention center, and the security personnel are all Muslims. They're there to work. They're not hired by Christians. All of a sudden, he has this incredible, he sees there's a man standing on the stage, and he doesn't know who he is, but he has a shepherd's rod, he's wearing a robe and has a beard. And he says, am I supposed to tackle this guy? Am I supposed to get him off of the platform? And so he checks with his friend, who's another security guard, and said, what should I do about this guy standing on the stage? And he said, what guy? He doesn't see a thing. He's having an open vision of Jesus. And so they said, well, let's talk to someone in the conference. So they described the person that's on the platform. And when they talked to someone from the conference who happens to be a Christian, they said, oh, my goodness, you're having a vision of Jesus. And so I hear about this. In fact, they had him testify, and even though he hadn't given his life to the Lord. And so afterwards, I said, I need to talk to him. So I'm talking with him and just going through the details. And as I'm talking with him, the only place we could have privacy, there were so many people, was just outside in the car, in the car that was provided for the speakers. As I'm talking with him, and I have this translator, this interpreter with me, he says, I'm having another vision. I see the same man, he's in the field with flowers, and he's waiting to me to come. I said, man, you can't get more clearer than this. At that time, there's a knock on my window, and they said, you're late, you're on. I was supposed to speak, and I was running late because, you know, we're talking to him. So I tell the pastor, I said, listen, you could lead him to Jesus Christ. I didn't know what had happened because it was near the end of the conference. I found out he gave his life to Jesus Christ. He got baptized in water. He's now active in a church. And I found this out when I was in Singapore a few months later, like in September. And so it's amazing to see how these Muslims are coming to know Jesus through visions, through dreams, and encounters with the Holy Spirit. God is on the move. Talking about Indonesia, I had a email testimony sent to me. Because I had a very unusual word of knowledge. I said, there's a woman here who has a daughter who has asthma, and she's not here, she's at home, but when you go home, you'll find her healed of asthma. There happened to be a woman from India there who, with a Hindu background, was invited by a friend to come. As you know, Indonesia is very multicultural as well, with a lot of people from India, from people from Singapore, and etc. Malaysia, and so you see a lot of Southeast Asians in Indonesia, just like you would here in Hong Kong or in Singapore. So anyway, I give this word of knowledge, and it was just one of many words I gave. But I got a letter from one of the committee members and said, this woman, when she got home, she said, this must be my daughter. And she was totally, this was the first time she had ever been in a Christian meeting. And when she got home, her daughter was totally healed of asthma. She contacted her friend, and her friend ended up leading her to Jesus Christ. Come on, let's thank Jesus for that. And yeah, so this is what we're seeing. We're seeing around the world, and it's amazing. But it's happening not just in Asia or Africa, where you hear a lot of the testimonies. It's happening in the United States. We're hearing reports of dead being raised. We're seeing just 6 months ago, I'm in Madison, Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin, one of our church plants there. And I'm done with the meeting. We had testimonies. I remember one man who had ringing in his ear from when he was in Vietnam. And a cannon went off right in his ear, and ever since then he had ringing in his ears. And we're talking about like 40 years, and he got healed for the first time, and the ringing stopped. And so we had testimonies like that. So I'm leaving the auditorium because I have to go from Madison by car to Chicago, which is almost a 2-hour drive, an hour and a half drive from Madison, Wisconsin. And so someone's picking me up to speak in Chicago, and as I'm walking out, a girl jumps out right in the middle of the aisle. And she said, will you pray for my right eye? I said, what's wrong? She said, I was born blind in my right eye. And, you know, I'm in a hurry, and I have to be honest with you, I didn't have much faith. I mean, I'm just ready to leave for another engagement, but she had so much faith. So I just said, okay, now here's how we're going to pray for each other. We're going to pray for each other tonight. And the way I pray is this. I invite the Holy Spirit, but then I ask the Lord, how am I supposed to pray? Again, we got to do some listening prayer because the key to praying for the sick is hearing how to pray. What I mean by that, is it an intercessory prayer? Are you asking God to heal the person? I rarely pray those prayers for the sick, by the way. When I pray an intercessory prayer, it's usually if it's something that is just so, like last stage of terminal cancer, stage four, they're on the dead, you know, and barring a major miracle. And so there are times, I don't have faith to make a decree, but I'll say, God, have mercy upon this person. And Lord, stretch forth your hand and heal this person of this terminal situation. And I've been in a situation where doctors only gave a person weeks to live and they walked out of the hospital. So you got to ask the Lord, what kind of prayer? A lot of the prayers that Jesus prayed were decrees. Have you noticed? They're like commands. Stretch forth your hand with the guy who was withered. Lazarus, come forth. And by the way, you notice he had to say Lazarus because if he said come forth, everyone would have come out of the grave. And so he had to be very specific who to raise from the dead. Take up your mat and walk. Those are all decrees. And so I feel we're shifting from making more intercessory prayers than decrees or commands. And so God wants you to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and make a decree. Invite the Holy Spirit, make a decree. So in this situation, I felt like the Lord said, but spit on your thumb and put it on your eye. Now, don't freak out. I'm not going to do that to you if you have eye problems. I just felt led in that particular situation. Never did that before. And so I put my thumb and put it on her right eye. And I just commanded the eye to open up. I made a decree. I said, I command this eye to open up. And when I took my thumb off, she started to scream. And she started to cry. She said, I can see. I mean, she was born blind. And now she could see. This is just like 6 months ago. But here's the amazing thing. She had severe scoliosis, which is curvature of the back. And she had pain. And when I put my thumb on her eye, not only did her eye open for the first time in her life, but God just straightened out her back. The power of God hit her and aligned her back. And she just immediately stood up. And here's the thing. She wasn't asking for that. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, He does exceeding abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think. God is such a good God that even if you're not asking for it, He knows what your needs are. And God in His mercy and grace just healed her, and it was just an amazing testimony. I saw one of the most amazing healings. My heart went out because I was in Manila before the typhoon hit. And since then, we've done a lot of work in Manila. And in fact, my daughter's going out again. I mean, she's be going out in March, and I'll be going back again in May. But last year, I was in Manila, and it was one of those last-minute healing services. I was there on a Monday night. And so our apostle oversees around 500 churches that are in our network that he's planted. He called for a meeting, and we had around 2,000 people show up on a Monday night. But because it was billed as a healing service, a school of the deaf came, a busload of deaf people came to the service. And then afterwards, as I'm ministering, they brought this one man to me that I never saw anything like this in my life. He was born without any ears. So there was just two little stubs sticking at the side of his head. Totally deaf, no ears. And, you know, you see that, and your heart goes out to that person. And I just, what do you do? You know, again, I don't have faith, but he was just looking, and he was so much in faith. So I put my hand over his ears, and I just commanded the hearing to come. I didn't command the ear to grow out. I just commanded he would hear. And to my amazement, even though the ear didn't grow out, he could hear. The eardrums were activated, and he could repeat after me. And he was saying, Jesus, Jesus. And it was just amazing. And to see God doing that and on the move, he wants to use you. The works I do, you will do. Greater works than these will you do in my name. One of the fun things I love doing, and people say, you know, do you have a particular anointing for something? I don't know if I do. I don't. But I do know that I've seen unusual people who the doctors say they cannot get pregnant. It just happened recently in January. I was at Mark Sharona's church, and I go there every year. And Mark Sharona is, he's on television a lot. He has a mega church in Orange, in Orlando, Florida. And he's part of our network. And so he has me in once a year. And so I was there in January. And after the service, a couple came up to me with a beautiful baby. And they said, I don't know if you remember, but you were here January the 23rd, the year before, in 2013. And you had given a word that there's a woman who's been having miscarriages, and the doctors say that you cannot conceive, but God's healing you tonight, and you will conceive. And I said, you know, to be honest with you, I don't remember, because there's so many places I've been to. But anyway, she reminded me, said, I said that. And so here's what happened. She had had four miscarriages. The doctor said she couldn't conceive. And that was January 23rd when I gave that word. March 23rd, 2 months later, she conceives. And she has a beautiful girl. They named her Grace. And they brought her up to me to just bless and dedicate after the service. And this just consistently is one of the greatest joys, because I love children. You know, I have two grandchildren. I love. And I'll never forget this one woman who is from Sri Lanka, came to our church. Never been to a church service in her life. But because she was so desperate for a healing. And here's was her story. She came actually to our Thanksgiving Day service, which is only a 1 hour a service on Thanksgiving Day. We have a national holiday, and it's just from like 10 to 11, and people just come and give praise and testimony, and we release them. We don't do any ministry. It's not a regular like Sunday service. It's on a Thursday. That's when we have our national holiday, the fourth Thursday of every November. She comes up to me and said, my husband's ready to divorce me. I've been married 12 years. We have spent tens of thousands of dollars, the best that medical science can provide for me to get pregnant, and I cannot get pregnant. And she's crying. She said, my husband's ready to divorce me and leave me because I can't produce a job. And I couldn't believe what I did. What came out of my mouth, I said, within 1 year, you're going to get pregnant. And the word, there was no ministry team, there was no usher. The word knocks her off her feet. She falls to the ground. I said, wow. And I said, I want to sort of take this back, because I had violated one of our major training principles. We say prophesy, but don't give specific dates. Because, you know, I mean, unless you're a high-level prophet like Chuck Pierce or a Bob Hartley, don't give dates. Just, you know, because what if this word is true? She does get pregnant, but it doesn't happen within 1 year, right? But it was too late. I already said it, and she's on the ground. And so I just said, Lord, I just ask you to bless what you're doing. So anyway, I thought that would be the last time I would see her. The next month, which is Christmas, right? November, then December, the Sunday before Christmas, she comes up to me after the service in H Rock Church, and she said, do you remember me? And I said, I'm sorry, I don't. I travel a lot in between the Sunday services. She said, you told me that I would get pregnant within 1 year. I said, yeah, I remember you. You're from Sri Lanka. And she said, yes. And she said, I want you to know I'm 3 weeks pregnant. I got pregnant right afterwards. And I said to her, is that your husband Beyond? Because he came. He wasn't there, but he came to a church service for the first time. He said, yeah. And that's him. I said, you know, Christmas time is time of giving. Would you like to give a gift to Jesus Christ for the gift that he's given you? And she said, oh, of course. And she reaches for her purse to take out some money. And I said, no, I'm not talking about that gift. I'm talking about your heart. Would you like to give your heart to Jesus Christ? So I sat down with them, shared the gospel. They end up giving their lives to Jesus Christ. They end up becoming members of our church. And then 9 months later, they delivered this beautiful baby girl. We dedicated that baby girl to Jesus Christ. But here's the point. They were Hindus before they had this encounter. One touch from God can change and shift a person's life and lead not only her to the Lord, but also her husband to Jesus Christ. And so that's why God wants to use you. It's power for a purpose. You shall receive power, Acts 1:8. So you could be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That word witness, by the way, the Greek word martyro, which means really we get the word martyr from, he's talking about being a lay down lover for him. That you're willing to say yes. Because the way miracles work is simply when you say yes to the Holy Spirit. Every time anything major happens, is I just feel the prompting of the Lord just to obey what the Holy Spirit is saying. And that's what faith really is obedience. In fact, faith is used interchangeably with obedience. And you can look at that in John 3:36. I don't have time to go into that. But let me give you one example. My wife and I, when we lived in our first house in Pasadena, and across the street was a yuppie couple, this young couple. He was the general manager at Ritz-Carlton, Pasadena, and she was a hospice nurse, Ann and Andy. And my wife was amazing. She reached out to them, and she would, you know, she does this wherever we live. She gives gifts during Christmas time and Easter time. She'll make a basket, and we had them over for dinner, and just, you know, friendship evangelism, totally in the world. They were just partying all the time. So I'm leaving my house to go to the church office, and at the same time, Anne is leaving her house to visit a patient. And if you know anything about hospice situation, it's visiting patients at home that are terminally ill, where, you know, they don't want to rack up the dollars by keeping them in the hospital, so they bring the equipment to the person's house, and they have their remaining days at home. And she comes up to me, and she says, I have a patient who is 90 years old. She's been in a coma for 3 months. I think she's going to die. All her vital signs are dropping, and it looks like she's going to die any day now. Would you be willing to come over and give her her last rites? Now, I don't have a clue what last rites are. I do not come from a Roman Catholic background, but she comes from a Catholic background, and she sees me as a priest. And so I said yes, because I felt the Holy Spirit say yes. This is an open door. Just follow her. So I said, Anne, I said, let me just follow you to the house, and I have to go to the church office. She said, fine. So she leads me to another city. From Pasadena, we go into Altadena. And if you're familiar with that area, it's the neighboring city north of Pasadena. We go into this small little home, and there's this shriveled up lady, 90 years old. Her name is Lois, and she's on life support. They have the IV, they have electric respirator, they have all these equipment. There's another nurse there, and there's Anne, who is the hospice nurse. And when I get there, all of a sudden, I hear the Holy Spirit say, don't just go, because what I was thinking is I was just going to read Psalm 23, read some passages from the Bible, and pray this prayer, and leave, because I just want to be a good witness to my neighbor, because we've been reaching out to her, and just serve her. And so I was going to make up the, I didn't know what I was doing, really. I was just going to make it up on the way. So I doubt she really knew what the last rites were either. So I just thought I could just read some scriptures. So, but when I get there, I hear the Holy Spirit say, I want you to awaken her out of the coma and share the gospel with her. I hear that so clearly. But I didn't want to come across as a fanatic towards Anne, because we've been doing a lot of servant evangelism and friendship evangelism with her. So I asked for permission. I said, Anne, do you mind if I pray a different kind of prayer? What do you mean? I said, I'd like to pray that God would heal her, bring her out of the coma, and instead of giving her her last rites. She gave me this look like, I knew you guys were crazy fanatics, but this absolutely confirms it. And she walks away from me and goes to the corner of the room. She said, you could do whatever you want to do. And she just... So I stand over Lois, this shriveled up lady, and I just said, Lord, I just command her to come out of the coma in Jesus' name so she could hear the gospel. I repeat what I hear from God. And God's my witness, and Anne's my witness, and that other nurse is my witness. Within, I think, 2-3 seconds, she comes out of the coma. She opens her eyes. The first thing out of her mouth is, who are you? And I said, well, I'm a pastor. She said, I can't believe you're a pastor. And this is what she said. Make a long story short, she said, I knew I would die and I would go to hell. So I said, God, keep me alive until you send someone to tell me how I can get to heaven. And I said, Lois, God has sent me to tell you how you can get to heaven. She ended up giving her life to Jesus Christ. She ended up living for another 3 months, by the way. And I would come and read the Bible to her just to visit her. And this led to the salvation of that other nurse. When I came to visit, she said, I've never seen anything like this. And she ended up giving her heart to Jesus Christ. But most importantly, Anne gave her life to Jesus Christ. My neighbor gave her life to Jesus Christ. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Listen, For us to accomplish what Jesus asked us to do, there's no way we can reach. Look, there are over 1 billion Muslims that have yet to hear the gospel. Even with the revival breaking out in China, I was told by the Chinese leaders there are now unofficially 1.7 billion Chinese in mainland China. Not 1.3, which is the published stat. 1.7. And so even though revival is breaking out, there's over 1 billion that have never heard the gospel. And the way I believe that God wants us to fulfill the Great Commission is John 14:12. The works I do, you will do. And greater works than these will you do in my name. Listen, I'm for any kind of evangelism, servant evangelism, friendship evangelism. You know, I even believe in karate evangelism and puppet evangelism. Anything that will win people to Jesus Christ, I'm for. But God wants to use you. The Bible says these signs will follow those who believe. And these are for believers in Mark 16, verse 17. In fact, we're just seeing some of the most amazing testimonies. But let me close, because I want to have a chance for us to pray for each other. But the key is faith. You notice the operative word here in verse 12, it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do. He who believes in me. See, faith is a word, it's a relational word. It's about intimacy. It's not some kind of formula. It's not just faith and faith, or faith and the word even. You have to understand, Abraham believed, and God declared him righteous, and there was no scripture. Moses had not come on the scene, and it was a relationship. He had a revelation that that God existed, the God who revealed himself to him in what is now Turkey, in Ur of Chaldees. And so he has this revelation, and he believed, and he obeyed. And he says, I want you to leave your homeland, and I'll show you the land that you're going to possess. And so we see that faith is all about intimacy. It's about relationship. It's like when my kids were young, one of the things they used to do, they used to play this all the time. They would just jump on the bed, and I would come by the bed, and they would say, Daddy, hey, catch. And they would jump out, and I would catch them and turn them around. Sometimes I would initiate it. I would have them on the bed, and I said, jump, and I would catch them. Now, how many of you know it would be sadistic of me if I said jump, and then I moved out of the way and let them fall flat on their face? But some of us think that's the way God's going to set us up, is that, you know, he's going to ask us to do something, and all of a sudden, you know, we're going to look like idiots. But you know what? Sometimes we do hear in part, and we don't see fully. But I would rather step out in faith, because faith pleases God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so faith, what is faith? Faith is about a relationship, but it's also about revelation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. That word there in the Greek is the word, Greek word rhema, which is different from the logos Greek. And that's the revelatory word. And so when God begins to speak to you and you step out, like pray for this woman to come out of the coma, faith rose. And I would not have had faith if I didn't have that. But I had faith as a result of that word. I knew I had heard from God. And the more you cultivate that hearing heart and you develop that intimacy, you begin to hear. And all of a sudden, the miracles begin to happen and become natural, supernaturally natural. It just becomes just part of your life. And you begin to recognize what God's doing. Sometimes you're not sure, and just like Lauren Cunningham teaches, to just ask, Lord, is that you? I'm not sure if you're speaking to me. I'll never forget when I was flying to Kiev, Ukraine, to do a meeting. And during the whole flight, when I got on the flight on the plane from Frankfurt, Germany, to go to Kiev, Ukraine, I was in business class, and the guy sitting next to me, he looked so familiar, but I couldn't recognize him, and he had Bose speakers on, like, don't disturb me, I don't want anyone to talk to me. But throughout the flight, people from coach came up to him, and they wanted his autograph. And, you know, and he would accommodate. He would take off the speaker, just give the autograph, and it was just amazing. And so Finally, you know, I said, well, Lord, if you want me to, obviously this guy's a celebrity. He looks familiar. He was huge. He was like 6'6". I thought maybe he was a European basketball player. I didn't know. But he looked familiar, but I couldn't put my finger on who he was. And so I said, Lord, if you want me to share the gospel, I want you to open the door. And that's a good prayer. Because when you're not sure, just ask God for an open door. And sure enough, the next person who comes out of coach class, he has a camera, and he says, hey, could you take a picture of us two together? And that was the open door. So he took off his earphone. I took the picture, and then I gave the camera to the guy who wanted the picture. And I said, excuse me, do you speak English? Because they're all speaking Russian during the whole time. I know Russians. I mean, I could pick up the Russian language. He says, yes, I do speak English. And I said, can I ask who you are? And he says, I'm a nobody. You know, it was very, very modest. I said, you're not a nobody. I mean, since our flight taken off, we've had at least 10 people come up and ask for your autograph. And I said, you know, but he turned the table around and said, who are you? I said, I'm a nobody too. I'm just, you know. And I said, I'm going to, he says, where are you going to my country? He says, well, I'm a pastor and I'm going to be speaking. He said, really? Tell me about this. And it was like this open door, and I shared the gospel with him. And so for the next 45 minutes, I shared my testimony, shared the gospel. He was very, very open. And he says, well, I want you to know, I believe in Jesus as well. I said, really? He says, yeah, I'm part of the Greek Orthodox Church, but I believe in Jesus. But what you shared with me has been very, very meaningful. I said, well, listen, you know, can I have your autograph? Because I want to show my friends I met someone that, even though I don't know who you are. And he says, sure. So he signed this autograph, but I can't read his handwriting. You know, So anyway, we get off the plane and a limousine comes and picks him up. And I, you know, go on the bus with everyone else. And then we go into the main terminal. And so then the pastor picks me up and I share this divine appointment. I said, I had this amazing appointment with a guy that I witnessed to and share the gospel. And he says, who was that? He said, well, I can't read his handwriting. Why don't you read it? And he looks at it and he says, oh my goodness, you were witnessing to Vitaly Klitschko, the world heavyweight champion, and he most likely will be the next president of the Ukraine. And for those who don't know, there's been a lot of upheaval going on in Kiev and in the Ukraine. Because the current president is aligning with the Russian government, whereas most other people, including Vitaly Klitschko, is trying to align with the European and wants democracy. And it's amazing, you know, here's a guy who could be the next leader sharing the gospel with him for 45 minutes, see. As for open doors, it's amazing how God will open up doors. Let me close with this true story. I was just thinking about this. I've had the privilege of meeting with the former president of Korea 5 times, 3 times while he was in the Blue House, twice before he became president, and developed a friendship with him. The last time I met with him, right before, around 2 days before, I had get a dream of him. And long story short, I get a dream that there's something physically wrong with him, and I'm to pray for him when I meet with him. So when I'm at the Blue House, and I was there with Cindy Jacobs and with our apostle, Hyejak Kim, in Korea. And so we're having lunch at the Blue House, which is amazing in itself. It's just a favor of God on our, you know, and he's a spirit-filled believer. And so we knew that his term was up, and we were just wanting to give some encouragement to him. But I shared, after we had a chance to have lunch, I said, you know, I had a dream, and there was something wrong. So can I ask you, Mr. President, if there's anything physically wrong with you? And he says, well, yeah. And in the dream, I prayed for someone with arthritis. The word I was getting with arthritis. So I asked him if you have arthritis. He says, no, I don't have arthritis, but I do have a respiratory problem. And I have a real hard time breathing, which is hard when I do a long speech because I can't breathe and speak for more than 20 minutes, which is hard when you're present. And so I prayed for him, and Cindy said, you have the gift of healing. Why don't you pray for him? So I prayed for him, and he started to breathe in, and he says, I feel tremendously better. He says, it's not totally better, but I feel, and he said this, he said, I feel by faith I've received my healing. But the first lady was there, and she said, I have arthritis. I said, oh, so here's your arthritis. I have arthritis in my knee. And we pray for her, and she gets 100% healed. The first lady, totally healed. She gets up, does knee bends the whole 9 yards in the Blue House, and tests her knees. And I'm going to ask you to do the same thing, test. So we thought that was it, our last meeting with the president before President Park became president. So we begin our conference, and we go back to the hotel, and then we're starting our conference, and it's a big conference, 5,000 people at the Olympic Arena. We get a phone call from the First Lady the next day, and she said, after you prayed for me, I realized I would like for you to pray for my two adult children. And you don't have to come to the Blue House. We'll come to you. Where are you staying? And we told her, we said, we'll come to you. And so when is a good time? Because we don't want to interrupt your preaching schedule, your conference schedule. And this is all through Hedja Kim, not me directly, but it's through our apostle. And she said, well, the conference starts at 10 o'clock. So if you want to come around 8 o'clock in the morning, we can pray for your adult children. Now, I didn't know that they had to basically shut down the whole Grand Hyatt Hotel for security reasons. We would have never said yes. We would have said, look, we'll meet you back, you know, in the Blue House. But, you know, they went through the whole thing of, they had Secret Service agents everywhere shutting things down. We had to walk through a metal detector in the hotel before. And so there was a secure room with the First Lady and her two adult children. So we go in there, and as we're sitting there, talking with her, and Cindy says, do you know anything about prophecy? And they said, no, we don't know. And so she said, well, I have some words of encouragement. So she begins to prophesy to them. But the more we're with these adult kids, the more we realize, you know how you, when you are in a conversation, you realize they may not be saved? And all of a sudden we realize they don't know Jesus Christ. They've just been brought up in a religious church, in the Presbyterian church, but they've never had a born-again experience. So we asked them, have you ever had a born-again experience where you gave your heart to Jesus Christ? No, we just grew up Christians in a church. So would you like to have it? And she said, they said yes. So right there at the Grand Hyatt in Seoul, they gave their lives to Jesus Christ. So one series of events, starting with a dream, obeying that dream, praying for the First Lady, who gets healed, saying, I want you to pray for my kids, opens the door for the greatest healing, which is salvation. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord, and as you obey that word, that's when the miracles begin to flow. So let me just give you an equation, like a mathematical equation. Faith is revelation plus personal conviction plus action. Revelation plus personal conviction, when you know it's yours, plus action, you obey. That's why Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things for conviction of things not seen. And as you act on the word that God gives you, whether it's a written word, which is absolutely the final authority, or his revelatory word, you will start seeing the miracles happen. Let's all stand up. Now here's what I want to do. I want to apply this right off the bat. The revelation of God's love for you. He loves you, the Bible says, with an everlasting love. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, it says, God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, I know in a group this size, there may be some here who have never given their hearts to Jesus Christ. Maybe you came with a friend. I'm not even sure if this is being webcast now or no, tomorrow? It is being webcast. All right, so maybe there is someone watching this even now, and you don't know Jesus Christ. And I just want to just say, it's not a coincidence you're here or those who are watching online. I believe that God is orchestrating your steps. And I think I would be missing it if I didn't share and give you an invitation to give your heart to Jesus Christ. But let's apply that. Revelation plus personal conviction plus action. The revelation is that Jesus died for your sins. He rose again on the third day. You and I who deserve to be punished for our sins, Jesus went to the cross for us. He was our substitute. He took our place. And what we have to do is believe, which is to receive by faith and act on that. And God says that you will not perish but have eternal life. Amazing. It's amazing. 40 years ago, this past May, last year of 2013, I simply walked out of the Deep Purple concert and everything changed in a moment. One day changed my life. Who would have ever thought that I would be married for 35 years, four beautiful children that would end up growing up serving God? I am the most blessed person, seriously. And it all happened. I got delivered from drugs instantly. I was a high school dropout. I went back to school. I mean, God healed my mind from LSD. It was just amazing, the miracle of healing that took place right after my conversion. And God can heal you. He can make you whole. He could deliver you from whatever drug addiction, alcoholism, nicotine, pornography, whatever is your issue. He could set you free. You should know the truth. The truth will set you free. And it's by grace. Grace, you're saved through faith, not that of yourself. It's a gift of God. But you need to receive. So what I want to do is I want to lead you in a prayer. And if you are a believer and you say, you know what, I've been away from God and I need to come back. I believe it's important for you to repent. The times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Give your heart back to the Lord. Pray this prayer with me right now. Just bow your head and pray this prayer. Just say, Jesus, thank you for your love. You don't have to say it loud. You can just say, repeat after me quietly. Just, Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for dying for me. Jesus, I give you my heart. Be the Lord of my life. And I will follow you all the days of my life. By your grace, I choose to forgive all those who have hurt me. Yeah, go ahead. If your father has hurt you, if your parents or someone, a spouse, forgive them by the grace of God. Because your miracle is about to happen. But you need to release that forgiveness before that miracle happens. Now, I want you to look up. If you pray that prayer for the first time, you meant it with all your heart. What I want to do is I'm going to ask you to act on the word. I'm going to count to three. And after I count to three, I want you to just raise your hand and say, yes, I prayed that as a first time or rededication. Why? Because faith without action is dead. It's revelation, personal conviction. You accepted Jesus into your heart. And now the action part. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So this is what I want to do. So are you ready? All right, so boldly act on the word and raise your hand. I'll count to three. One, two, three. Go ahead, raise your hand and hold it up high all throughout this place. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Whether it's first time or rededication. Now, what you're becoming is a lightning rod for the grace of God. See? The grace of God is coming upon you as you walked in obedience to that. Now, let me encourage you. Let your pastors know if you're here for the first time. Let your friend know that you raised your hand, and I want you guys to care for each other. Now we're going to apply this to praying for the sick. And what I want to do is I want to have all those who need a miracle in your body, whether it's pain, chronic pain, or if it's sickness, like an incurable disease. It doesn't matter. But if that is you, would you raise your hand wherever you are? Just raise your hand if you need a healing for your body. All right, now what I want to do is keep your hand up. But we're going to minister to each other because I want to show you that you have the authority and the power to pray for each other. So even if you are standing next to someone and both of you have your hands raised, go ahead and I want you to do four things. Number one, just share briefly what the problem is. Don't go into medical history. You're not a doctor, okay? Just say, hey, I have diabetes or I have arthritis or I have been in a car accident, I have a whiplash or I have carpal tunnel, whatever. Number two, invite the Holy Spirit to come. Number three, do some listening prayer. Pray the kind of prayer God wants you to pray. And then number four, do something you couldn't do before. It's interesting, the Gospel of John, five out of the seven miracles that are recorded, they had to first do something, then the miracle happened. Like, you know, turning water into wine, they had to fill the jars up, take the water to the wine master, and then it became wine. So you got to act on the word, all right? So do something you couldn't do before. All right, now keep your hand up until you find a prayer partner. We're going to do some prayer with each other. All right, go ahead and pray for each other and find someone and let's begin to minister. And again, let me repeat. Share what's wrong. Invite the Holy Spirit. Engage in prayer as the Holy Spirit leads you. And then act on the word. Do something you couldn't do before. Once again, just share what the problem is very briefly. And then when you pray for them, invite the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a healer. We're not healers. It's a power. But you pray the way God is leading you to pray. You could just say, you know, Father, heal this person. Or you may say, be healed in Jesus' name. You may pray a prayer of rebuke. Say, I feel it's an evil spirit that's causing the sickness. And I bind that spirit and command that spirit of infirmity to leave. And then ask the person to do something and test it. See how they're doing. Now, what I want to do is, as you're praying, I can continue to pray, but I'm getting words. I'm seeing someone here, a young lady, maybe not that young. I just see a curvature of the back. When I mentioned scoliosis, there's someone here with scoliosis, and God wants to straighten out your back and receive that healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I saw eyes being healed. Now, whether you're praying for someone's eyes or not, or you know, if you have a problem with your eyesight, God wants to heal eyes tonight. I rebuke any kind of cataract, glaucoma, detached retina, or whatever problem with the eye. Receive the healing right now in the name of Jesus. I see there's someone with chronic pain in the lower region of your stomach. I don't know if it's chronic bloating, whatever it is, but there's just excruciating pain at times, and God wants to heal that, lay the axe to the root of that, and receive your healing in Jesus' name. I'm also, please forgive me for this, but there's someone here who gets extreme pain during her cycle, and God wants to heal you of that. And so receive the healing for that in the name of Jesus. By the way, when I give these words of knowledge out, if you're watching me on webcast, I want you to claim these words for yourself as well. I see a hyperactive thyroid being healed in the name of Jesus. I see a right tendonitis being healed. Right in the elbow area. Go ahead and stretch it out. Carpal tunnel. I mentioned that. That's because I was getting that word that God's healing someone of carpal tunnel syndrome. And fibromyalgia, I rebuke in the name of Jesus. Asthma and allergies, I rebuke in the name of Jesus. That word I had earlier about that Hindu woman's daughter, but there's someone here with allergies. It's a generational thing, and I break that curse off of your life. Deviated septum. You can't breathe through your nose. Just breathe in right now. God's opening up your nose. I rebuke a deaf, dumb, mute spirit. Someone with an ear that has partial deafness, and maybe in one ear, and I command that ear to open up in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Go ahead and test it. Test some of these things. There's someone with an ACL injury. Move your knee. God's healing you of that knee injury. It may have been a surgery that really didn't heal properly. And go ahead and receive that healing in the name of Jesus. I see, lower vertebrae back wound area, the lower disc area, and God's healing you and just begin to. There's someone with a problem in your rotator shoulder area, and you can't move your arm even up past your head, and so begin to move that. God's healing you of that, and do something that normally causes pain and see if that pain. There's someone here with a heart palpitation. God's healing as well, so we thank you for that. We'll give you praise and glory.
Honey, you get any words for anybody?
Okay. I'm getting also, there's someone with pain in their mouth. It's almost like, I don't know if it's a gum. I saw a mouth hurting, and if you touch it now, the pain's going right now in Jesus' name. Receive that healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now continue to pray. Now, by the way, one of the things that I said, you know, act on the word. Thanksgiving is a language of faith. So make sure that you're giving lots of thanksgiving. Say, thank you, Lord, for healing me. Pray. In fact, let's do that. Let's thank God for healing us. Let's thank God for moving on our lives. And for any kind of manifestation of healing, you need to thank God for it. Someone with pain in their neck, you could hardly move your neck. And go ahead and move it. God's healing that. And the warmth is coming to your neck right now. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to look at me because I know that you're still praying, but just pause for a moment. If there's been a significant manifestation, I'm talking about at least 50%, all right? You're saying, I can say by the grace of God, I feel like 50% improved. Something has shifted since my friend has prayed for me. Would you wave your hand at me? I want to see who you are, okay? Good. That's very good. All right. Anyone with let's say 30% improvement, 25 to 30% improvement. Okay, some more hands going up. Any others? Now, here's what I want to do. I would like to lay hands on you because one of the gifts I have is the gift of healing, and I want to just bless what God's doing. And if you just raise your hand for 25, 50% or even higher, I want you to come up and just line up here. Just come on up out of your seat. And even if it's a small improvement, because we need to bless what the Holy Spirit's doing, let's give a hand for these people as they come up and line up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Why don't you face the camera, turn around and face the people. Sam, what's the Lord doing?
I got a torn labrum, my rotator.
Really?
My right.
Well, let's pray for you again.
And I got bursa too on my foot, but you didn't call that
okay,
out.
Let's pray for that.
But I received everything.
Well, now let me do something. Is there anyone here who is saying it's like 80%? Something is, you know, like 80% improved up here, and almost like 100%. Okay, let me find out what that is first. What was wrong?
Respiratory problems.
How long have you had that?
Since I was born.
You're kidding me. And what happened now?
Basically, as my friend prayed for me, it became a lot easier to breathe, and the pain in the chest, it disappeared.
So you actually had pain in your chest because of that?
Heartburn, kind of, and also mixed with...
And you're saying that just lifted as you received prayer. So isn't that wonderful? Let's give Jesus praise and glory. So Father, we just bless that. Again, I was just seeing a generational curse. Did you have any family member have it as well?
It's generational. My father passed it on down.
Yeah. All right, so it was a generational thing. So we break that. See, Galatians 3:13 says he's redeemed us from every curse of the law, having become a curse for us. So we break that generational curse. Father, we seal this healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for almost total healing. The pain is gone, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord. You may be seated. For those who, anyone else who say like 80% something's happening, even as you're coming up here, it's like the healing is taking place. There's someone here that is feeling better as you're coming up here. Don't be shy. Is there anyone here, as you walked up here, you actually felt like something's happening and you're getting better? Just test it. Find out if that's you. Again, I just want to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit's saying. And who would that person be? Yeah. You feel like something's happening? Come on up here. Let's come on up here. Don't be shy. Yeah, what was wrong?
I was told I have scoliosis, and then
you have
I was.
Scoliosis, okay.
I hope so. And I was having back pain until they prayed for me.
And how does it feel now?
Feels pretty good, actually.
And can you test it to see if?
Yeah, I'm testing it now.
And so, did you have pain there besides the curvature of the back? Did you have pain?
Yeah, I did.
And how's it feeling now?
It feels much better.
Okay, let's pray. Show me exactly where it hurt. Right there. Father, we thank you so much for the way you called out the word scoliosis and you're healing our dear sister of this. We give you praise and glory for that. We pray for 100% healing. By the way, I want to just give a word. In my book, How to Pray for Healing, I mentioned scoliosis. A lot of Asians have it because of performance orientation, because we're brought up to really perform. And it causes, really, your immune system breakdown. Scoliosis is not a curvature of the back. It really is an immune problem in your muscles. It causes the contract, which causes the curvature to take place. And so when you just really give the Lord, just say, Lord, you know, I'm not here. You already love me and accept me, period. I don't have to perform. The Lord is saying, this is my beloved daughter with whom I am well pleased. Does that make sense to you? Just receive that. He loves you just the way you are. And he's healing you with that scoliosis from the root up and healing your heart. That's why it's so important to know that 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I pray you prosper, be in health, just as your soul prospers. So in proportion to your soul being healed, the physical healing is taking place even right now. So Lord, we break off the performance orientation. We thank you, Lord, that you have healed her on the cross 2,000 years ago, and we appropriate that now by your love and grace, by faith, we receive and we thank you, Lord. The pain will be forever gone, not to return, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, the Spirit's all over her. By the way, tears are a manifestation as much as laughter or shaking or anything like that. And so God is doing a wonderful work in her life. Who is the one who had the knee injury? Who was pain in the knee? Was there someone here with a knee injury that got healed? What was wrong with?
I think I've been running too much. So, yeah.
Did you get prayed for your knees?
Yeah.
How does it feel?
I don't know. I can do some of the, like, bending the knee without any pain now.
You could do some things that you couldn't do before with pain?
Not that I couldn't do, but I feel pain when I do it.
You felt pain, but you don't feel pain now.
Yeah, just now I tested it.
You tested it. Isn't that wonderful? Let's thank God for that. That is amazing. Which knee specifically?
Like, both.
Father, we just thank you so much for healing my sister, that she will not have pain running and exercising. Lord, I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's go down the line here. What was wrong with you?
I've been suffering from ovarian myoma for 5 years. But every time when I have the monthly period, I have belly pain in my back. So right now I have the period. So when someone will pray for me, less pain.
Isn't that wonderful? This is so amazing that you guys are doing the work. So, Father, we just thank you. We bless what you're doing. We rebuke the pain. Thank you. From its root up, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Can you thank the Lord for your healing? And just move it again to see if the pain is going. How's it feeling up here?
I'm sure the pain is gone. Thank
you. Sure, the pain is gone now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. All right. Let's pray for you. Father, we just thank you for Sam. We just thank you that we shall lay our hands on sick. They will recover. So we command the shoulder to be healed totally in Jesus' name. The Spirit's all over you too. Just what are you feeling right now?
Just feel good.
Why don't you move around?
My shoulder. Oh, actually, it feels good. Oh, there's a little click still.
Well, Father, we just pray for more, that there won't be any more click, and total healing in Jesus' name. I want to just pray for an impartation. I pray for an impartation of greater signs and wonders. Receive that. You're going to be moving in greater signs and wonders. You're receiving impartation for words of knowledge and healings. And I just see you going to the nations and bringing this anointing to the nations as well. So receive that in Jesus' name. Whoa, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for healing. Pastor Sam, come on. All right, what about you? What was wrong?
Got skin allergies and nose allergies.
Allergies?
Yeah.
What kind of allergies?
Skin and nose.
Okay. Do you feel that something shifted? Do you feel better?
I think definitely when after my husband prayed for me, and then when you called, I think I vaguely heard that you called out that to breathe in, and then the blockages left.
No, you know what I'm sensing? One of the things I'm sensing with this one is I feel it's a spirit of allergies. And so I'm just going to step out, okay? And it's not, no one can be demon possessed as a Christian, but there are certain, we still have our old body, and there are some generational things as well here. But right now, I just rebuke this foul spirit of allergies. I bind and command to leave. This is not of God. This is illegal. There's no scoliosis or psoriasis, I should say, allergies on the hands in heaven. So we call it down on earth as it is in heaven. We just thank you for total healing. Breathe in right now. See if your sinuses are even getting clear. Yes. Whoa. Now tell me what's going on.
Can you breathe better?
Like definitely a lot clearer when I breathe in.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about your hand? Just touch it. See if there's a scratch, or do you feel like something of it's going?
I think the redness is lighter.
The redness is lighter. So we just thank you. So this foul spirit, this is a curse that's not of God. And we just believe for that total healing. Let's give Jesus praise and glory. And by the way, we need to thank God for every healing mercy, even if it's partial, because, you know, a lot of the healings we see was partial and then becomes complete. All right, what was wrong? And what's the Lord doing?
I've had pain in my lower back. I don't know if that's the long word you said, but the pain has been going down a little bit since I've been standing here. Oh. And I've had pain in my gums because there was some tooth trying to come out, but there's no space for it. Yeah, there's no space for it. But I also sense that that's kind of gone. And also, as you were sharing with Cadence, I've had hives for many years and it's gone, but it came back the last couple of weeks. And it was getting a little bit itchy when I was sitting here, but since I've been standing up, the itch had gone.
You know, you're in the glory zone. The Holy Spirit is just touching you. So, Father, we thank you for taking away the pain. We thank you, Lord, for totally healing my sister of the lower back. We give you praise and glory for that. We just thank you. No more hives. And see, and you know, one of the things I wanted to do is really train you and equip you, and you see the Spirit of God is just resting on her in a very gentle, beautiful way. And how do I know that? Because, I mean, you're shaking. There's a little bit of tingling going on. And so we bless what the Father's doing. We just say, more, Lord. More of your healing. In Jesus' name, yeah. Now, we just rebuke this pain in the back. We thank you, Lord, for healing her. And move your jaw around. See if there's the pain has gone in your... How does that feel?
Fine.
Feels fine. What about your lower back? Just move around. How? What percentage would you say has improved since this meeting started?
I guess since I've been standing here, I still feel a little bit of pain. I still feel a little bit of pressure, but it's gone down.
It's gone down. Like I said, like from scale 1 to 10, 10 being perfect, what is it now?
It's probably about 7.
7? What was it before the meeting?
About 5.
So you see this improvement taking place. So we say, Lord, thank you, Lord. We say more. Let's give Jesus praise and glory for that. That's amazing. What about you? What's happened?
I had a cold for like 3 days, and for the whole time I had my nose blocked. I couldn't smell anything, and I had this pulsing headache, and I was about to leave. And someone prayed for me, and both nostrils just cleared, and all my headache's gone. And yeah, I think I even talk better now. I don't think I have the flu anymore.
Well, Father, we seal this healing and we give you all the praise and all the glory for your saints praying for and ministering to our sister. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what about you?
I have this gum problem, like this pain since last October. And then it got healed in November, but it came back again. And this morning I went to see the dentist, and they said it takes a while to get healed. And then it was hurting, so all the time I was like rubbing. And then when you call out, anyone has the gum, and I put my hand, because I was also praying for someone, and I put my hand, okay, I receive in Jesus' name. And then it got better, so much better. Now I can open, I can, yeah.
Specific word in the mouth and the gum area, so we seal this now and give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give Jesus praise for that. What about you? What was wrong?
Chronic stomach ache.
Stomach pain, yeah. How long have you had for that?
For about a year after food poisoning. But last Sunday, my brothers and sisters prayed for me during the well ministry, and I didn't have the pain for the whole week.
Isn't that wonderful? Let's give praise for that. So all week she's been free of that. That's been so. We seal that in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you share okay? What's happened with you?
Actually, I was getting prayed for something else, but as you were saying about allergy, I feel like some air or spirit, I don't know, just leaving
just
me.
Leaving
yeah.
I tell you, the reason why I know this is because the Lord healed me of allergies myself, and just delivered me from it. Really, it was the spirit of it. So we just thank you, Lord. We seal this. We ask you to fill my brother with the Holy Spirit. And so thank you, Lord, for no more allergies in Jesus' name. Let's thank the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. God bless you. What about you?
I had a lot of neck pain. And today I went to also a therapist to try to just reduce
it. How long have you had this pain in your neck?
About a month.
About a month. And how does it feel now as you're moving around?
Much improved.
Much improved. What percentage is it better since the meeting started?
70%?
So, Father, we just thank you for total healing. What you began, we bless you. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Lord. We should pray. sick, they will recover. Now I just want to just soak you a little bit. We say more, Lord. More. Increase. Holy Spirit, more. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and glory and honor. Amen. Just move your neck and see if it's just getting even more looser. And thank you. How does it feel?
Better.
It feels better. All right, let's give Jesus glory. Thank you, Jesus. And what was wrong?
My hand is shaking most of the time. And I noticed this since my teenage. But go to specialists, they can't find any reason. So, just now I feel that some flows is like going through my hand, particularly my left hand, because it's the most shaky hand that I have. It's about 30% that I feel is less shaky. I just hope that God will complete healing.
Let's pray for a continual healing. Father, we thank you for the percentage of increase, but we thank you, Lord, that there's no problem in heaven. We say on earth as it is in heaven. And just let the glory of God, the presence of God, just come and heal you. And the word of God is true. You believe that we shall lay our hands on the sick, they will recover. Do you believe that? Yeah, as we laying hands on you, you will totally be healed and recover. More, Lord. Let it come. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we do take authority over whatever demonic spirit. See, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil in Acts 10:38. And I just pick up there's some kind of demonic oppression here. So I bind that off of you right now, command to leave. And I lay the root of this problem, physical problem, right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Yeah. I said out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, honey, I want to encourage you, just if you could just pray for this young lady, and we're going to just soak her, and then we'll come back and see how she's doing, all right? Just, you're doing great. Yeah, what was wrong?
Hi. My neck had lost its natural curve, and then I had shoulder pain and a slip disc in the lower back, but the lower back thing was healed. Yeah.
How long have you had this curvature of the neck?
I think for 10 years, I think, years? Something like that.
When I mentioned about performance orientation, did that apply to you? Did you grow up in that kind of environment, a lot of either self-induced or from your parents?
I a little bit, but I don't remember where it came from. That thing. Yeah.
All right. That's thanks for the honesty, Father. We just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, and we bless what you're doing. We thank you for taking away the pain that has been alleviated in her back. And we just pray for total healing of her neck and her shoulders and her back from the top of her head to her toes. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Let's receive that. Let's thank the Lord for that as well. Amen. And what about you? What was wrong?
I can't digest hardly anything properly. So for a year.
Yeah, over a year? Okay. Hey, what triggered that?
It's generational. Okay. Yeah. I've been on a very restricted diet for a year, so there's not a lot I can eat, but I still have problems.
All right, let's wait on the Lord. Holy Spirit, we just thank you, Lord. And so we break this generational curse. Again, this is totally illegal. It's not allowed. There's no digestive problems in heaven. And so we say on earth as it is in heaven, we just thank you, Lord, for your will, which is for my sister to prosper and be in health as her soul prospers. Now let your power come. Put your hand on your stomach. Both hands. Lord, we just command the healing to take place. Set her free from this generational curse. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, and what about you? What's happening?
Hi. I have endometriosis. And on my right ovary, there's a cyst. It's a large cyst. And as my sisters were praying for me, actually I started trembling. And actually standing here, I started trembling. And I could feel that on my right side that there's something shaking, right?
Wow. And is it shrinking?
I hope.
All right, why don't you put your hand on that? Father, we just command this tumor to dissolve.
Yes.
And be gone in the name of Jesus. You know, it says, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up, cast in the sea. We just command this tumor, endometriosis, to be totally gone and healing to come from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Did you have a lot of pain there too? How's the pain, quote, right now, factor right now?
Actually, right now it's okay.
Right now it's okay. So we thank you, Lord, for that. And we praise you, Lord. We just pray for total healing in Jesus' name. Let's thank the Lord in faith. Come on, let's just praise the Lord. And what about you?
I have a skin problem for a long time. And I think I also have a spirit of allergy. Because when I was small, I feel very itchy in these areas in my arm and leg.
Is it a generational
thing? I didn't know. And then since probably secondary school, my face and also a little bit on my back. And just now, in fact, just now before this session at dinner, I was talking with two sisters. I probably need to go for a foot test. I'm not sure. And these days, I feel tired from more easily, but since just now I got prayed, I believe that God, Jesus healed me, and I'll be able to enjoy all kind of food with normal reaction.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. I believe that.
Energy as well.
Yeah, because a lot of times the natural antihistamine that is released causes fatigue when you have allergies. So I rebuke the allergies right now. We command again the spirit of allergies out in Jesus' name, never to return to my sister. And we thank you, Lord, for a total deliverance. Fill her with your spirit in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Are you, would like to testify? Why don't you come on over here in the middle? Yeah, what's happening with you?
I'm the one with the ACL injury.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I've just been battling with rehabilitation.
Which ACL?
Which ACL? The right one.
Okay, let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for that specific word about the ACL. We just thank you for healing her. And we just command the pain to leave, and we command the knee to function better. And are you saying there's some improvement?
That was what I was trying to figure out.
What do you have to do to find out? You have to go run?
No, I think it's just through time, because like if I were to sit for a really long time and if I were to stand, I'll be a little bit stiff. Yeah, so
And how does it feel? Can you do deep knee bends before? Or
yeah, I've been working on it, and so I went for a workout today because I've been trying to like get better at it. So it's been about a year over, and I've had like two surgeries for it and stuff. So
you've had two surgeries?
Yeah.
Wow. And so, thank you for claiming that. So, Father, we claim that healing. Let's all stand up. And Father, we claim that. And Lord, I just thank you again how everyone testified that someone prayed for them and something shifted. And so, Lord, I pray that you would activate your church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, God's people, to do the works of Jesus. And Lord, I prophesy 2014, greater works will we do. Because we believe in a good God who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Amen. And so let's give Jesus a big clap offer for all the testimonies. Wonderful. God bless you. And I just want to encourage you to continue to pray for each other every week. Contend for the supernatural. Amen.